NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
What's up, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, I got a raspy voice because I got allergies. But just like, fair warning. So, like Phoebe, like, smelly cat, smelly. I've been excited to do this case. It is the Black Dahlia murder.
Dun, dun, yes. Dun.
And it's not just a fucking awesome melodic metal band. For those of you who don't know about this case, when I think about this case, it's like a classic. I don't mean that in like a fantasizing way, but it's definitely one of those ones that it's one of the forefathers of like known cases, I think, because of the reasons I'm about to explain now. But yeah, so it's actually one of the most notorious unsolved murders in LA. So if you don't know why, I think this crime was so notorious mostly because of how heinous it was, like the gruesome violence that actually happened. And so some trigger warnings today. I happen to view this as a hate crime. So just fair warning there, a lot of misogyny is shown through these gruesome crimes that this person who I think did it did. And yeah, so just like fair warning, I'm going to get a little bit into the autopsy and kind of like the events that led up to her death. So it's definitely tough. Yeah, we might even have like, I don't know, a breather in between this. Hopefully next week's episode isn't so heavy. I don't know what we're doing next week.
We'll see.
No, it's going to be a different one for sure.
Okay. Do we have any announcements?
I don't think anything's changed recently crime wise, right? Have you guys heard any updates on anything?
No,
me neither.
I have so much in my body because of politics, but
that's about it. It's just a giant crime happening in front of all of us. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's a different kind of announcement. But no, I don't think we have anything additional. Patreon, go check that out. There's my little plug.
Be some fun stuff there. So anyway, the Black Dahlia was actually a nickname given to the woman who was murdered. Her name was Elizabeth Short. She was a really beautiful woman. She got that nickname. I'm sure some of you have seen the photos, which like my first time seeing the crime scene photos was in a depiction of like, I think it was like, I don't know, maybe something on Tumblr, where it's like half of her face as her real self, like her live and living self. And then the other half of her face being what it looks like when she was dead. And it was just like really shocking to me, and it really drew my attention because it's like you take into consideration some of these like heinous crimes are disgusting masterpieces in these men's sick twisted minds. And so you just if these people had just dove a little bit deeper into the minds of a killer, they might have caught their suspect. But there's a lot of stuff going on in there. Maybe they did want to do that, but yeah, we'll get into that later.
And this was also like time frame wise late 50s,
60s, right after World War II.
Okay.
Well, she had moved to LA like I think she was like 20, 21. Okay. She had a pretty difficult life from my understanding. Like her mom was really poor. They grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. But that's not where she died. Yeah, she died in LA. And she from my understanding had like a immune disease, like where she couldn't get too much cold weather. So she moved to LA. Well, first she moved with her father, which is also little tidbit here. He like lied when she was 6 years old and said he was dead to get away from their family, and then later like learned that he was alive and she was like, I'll live with you. Terrible mistake.
That's fucking
crazy. He lived
in
Florida. And so she lived with him for a bit when she was like 19, 20, and then she moved to LA.
Just like learning all of her early life stuff, because I feel like every time this is talked about, just talk about immediately her death, which is fucked up because she was a person.
That's why I want to go into like the death part though, because like I think that the person who did this like their reputation has been saved over hers for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm all about Miss Betty. That's how she went by. Betty Rose is what I call her. Mm-hmm. That's what the title of this episode will be named, because she goes by Betty for Elizabeth. But I love her. She seems like a badass bitch. Not going to lie. Like, we could really vibe with her, I think.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard people really talk about her backstory or her at all in anything I've
watched. Just her, how brutal her death was.
Yeah.
Yeah, her reputation was smeared, and you guys would be pissed at what was being strewn in the fucking tabloids. So, anyway, the crime scene, of course, was just flooded with reporters. So it happened, I think it happened on January 25th. So it's like around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. It's like when she's last seen. And so just to give you a little background. So she goes to L.A. This girl, bless her heart, all she has done in her life was be a babysitter. Like, she doesn't have the means. She has a beautiful face and a real good passion to try to get famous. So she kind of like lived off of friends for a while. She'd move in with people, like, from my understanding, overstayed her welcome a little bit too long. She was a party girl. Mm-hmm. I guess she didn't drink like too much, but she definitely, like, you know, was a socialite, and she wanted to be where, like, all the movie stars were in Hollywood, because Hollywood, that's what people went there for this time. If you're a girl, you're hot, you're trying to get famous, whatever that means. You're mm-hmm. wanting to be recognized by a director or something, and that's exactly what she did. So she was known for, like, dating a lot of men. They called it dating for dinner, not in a weird way, but she mm-hmm. was not a prostitute, but the tabloids used that to say she was a prostitute, and she's not. Which she just didn't have any money.
Stupid, because even nowadays, like, I know lots of friends who, like, yeah, I just wanted a free meal, which there ain't nothing wrong with it.
And fuck mm-hmm. you if she did fuck them, but firstly, she didn't fuck them.
Yeah.
So there was another theory going on that she might have been lesbian, because I know. She was a nice girl. I just think that she was a nice girl, and, like, yeah, she was fantasizing that life, but she was actually just more, she stood on the good side of stuff, you know? Yeah. She wasn't very, like, risque, because she wouldn't sleep with them, but I don't think it was to be a tease or because she was a lesbian. I just think it's because she didn't want to sleep with them. Yeah.
I like how the immediate response is like, won't fuck me? Gay.
Lesbian.
You must be gay.
Well, mm-hmm. the other reason they thought she was a lesbian is because she had a rose on her thigh. A tattoo. A rose tattoo on her thigh. So I guess at that time,
that, like, means only you're queer?
Lesbians got tattoos. And sailors. Super badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was gorgeous, and that tattoo is going to play a really important part in our story after, like, I get into this stuff. But her body was found in a really specific position. Let me see if I can find how this was. So this woman was just walking her dog and her baby, and there was a vacant lot, because I guess in this time in L.A., like, the after-war finances were really poor, so they couldn't finish up a lot of construction projects mm-hmm. they had, so there were a ton of vacant lots, like, everywhere. And Betty was found in a vacant lot by a woman who was walking her dog and her baby. Apparently, the woman thought it was, like, a mannequin.
Never a mannequin. Mm-mm. It's never a mannequin.
Yeah. And she called police, and, like, once police were there, they had a really hard time controlling the paparazzi and stuff, because this is just, like, unheard of at the time. Like, a really beautiful woman was just massacred and just publicly left out on display. So a Detective Hansen on the case, I like to say it that way, Detective Hansen on the case, he quoted that the body was lying with the head towards the north and the feet towards the south. And the left leg was 5 inches west on the sidewalk. And, like, I think from what I've read, she was put in this really, like, what people use as provocative, which, like, ew, you guys shouldn't use that word to describe this position. She was put in a very, I would say, violating position, like, very disgusting position. Anything besides provocative, like, fuck you. You literally agree with the killer that she's a whore.
Right.
And he did that because he wanted to just, what do you call that? Degrade her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she
also,
so her,
like,
legs
you're
were
sexualizing
a
dead body. Stop it.
Yes,
they stop sexual, it.
That's this case. That's this
weird.
This case is the sexualization of a body. Betty Rose's. Anyway, and her hands were placed above her head, and her legs were a little bit. But more importantly, she was bisected, literally cut in half. And of course, the world famous Glasgow smile.
Can you explain what that is, just in case people don't know?
That is a smile that was carved on her face from ear to ear, kind of like the Joker's smile. Yeah. That
terrifying.
Pisses me off. I literally view this whole murder as just one big giant act of hate, sexual hatred towards women. And I think that they didn't dive into that because we don't want to talk about that now, do we? Because literally America was like frenzied by this case. They wanted to know everything about Betty Rose. Some people thought she deserved it, literally. Yeah. Oh, an American Horror Story, like, does this really cute little runoff in season one. It's pretty fairly accurately depicted in my mind of, like, how I imagined things went down. But yeah, so, sorry, just to continue where I was about that. The body was lying face up, and severed parts was jogged over about 10 inches. Wait a minute. So the severed parts were jogged over. Like, I think she was stomped on. Anyway. Yeah, with her own heels. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, by the killer? Or,
I think,
like,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah.
Someone
I've never
had to put
heard
her
that
fucking heel
part
on.
Before.
Yeah, like, there was, like, a tire mark with her heel print in it. Anyway.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here it is. There was a tire track right up against the curb, and there was what appeared to be a bloody heel mark in this tire mark. And on the curb, which is very low, there was one spot of blood, but just one spot of blood. And there was an empty paper cement sack lying in the driveway. They think those cement sacks were used to transport her body.
Okay.
Ooh, God, I'm getting so excited because I'm like, the evidence is there. Anyway... Sorry. In the driveway, and it also had a spot of blood on it. It had been brought there from some other location they knew. The body was clean. Like, clean. I'm talking, they used...
Like, sterile?
They used gasoline to clean the body. Inside and out.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're talking someone, like, meticulously did this.
This is terrifying.
Yeah, and it had appeared to have been washed.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
That's fucking weird. This is terrifying. This is more terrifying than I fucking knew before.
So, okay, now is a good time that if you're, like, squeamish or I know this case is really bad, but honestly, I just think that the killer has not been given enough exposure to their crimes, to be honest, and Betty has just been, like, misconstrued altogether. So before, from my understanding, she had been kept with her killers for a couple days. They looked through her belly because there was suspicion that she might have been pregnant, like, as a motive, because they really had a hard time, like, knowing, like, who could have hated her so much to have done this. I think that was part of the flaw in their thinking. Like, I don't think this was intentionally for Betty. I think she was in the wrong place at the wrong time for someone who really hated women like her, which were powerful, sexy, not going to sleep with you women who said no. Yeah. And anyway, so tattoo, like, pieces of her body had gone missing, you guys, like, had been carved out of her. We're talking her private parts. We're talking her tattoo on her leg, on her thigh.
Do they only ever mention the tattoo on the leg? I didn't know that much.
The tattoo on the leg part, like, do you guys know where they found it?
I remember from the last time we recorded this.
Ah, yes. Also, I had to re-record this episode because because reasons.
Quarantine was hard, okay?
Anyway, the piece of her tattoo had been found underneath her bottom, from my understanding, or near her private parts. Really weird stuff going on here. Like, really specific and really thought out plans. So they also she was drained of her blood. So there were, like, two ways that someone could have done this, and it's like, you either hang them upside down,
right, like meat, like a butcher,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
or you had to have inserted a tube into an artery that would leak her, which only a surgeon would know. So that brings me to my next point. A surgeon did this. They're the only people who really have training on how to bisect a body without breaking bones. Yeah. So that kind of helped narrow down the suspect pool. But police were really just trying to snag this on. She had a bad date. Someone hated her. Like, the main suspects in this case were, there was a man who she was, like, dating, who was married, technically. And he was like, no, we didn't have sex at all. She was just hanging out in my hotel room. Like, mm-hmm, sure. But no, his name, I think, was Mark Hansen. And he was ruled out for multiple reasons, but also he was just the last person to see her, which was really scary. And everyone else who was a suspect had, like, no relation to surgical techniques. There was one person who owned a bar, a club that Betty would frequent often, and he was, like, weirdly obsessed with sex, from my understanding. And he could have had something to do with it because he could have planned to have someone do this to her, like another surgeon do this to her. But also, he wasn't that smart. So, I don't think that happened.
Well, and she was also seen at, like, in one of our earliest episodes, we talked about the Cecil Hotel. Mm-hmm. She was also, they claim that she also went there a lot.
She stood there. And yeah, it's haunted. And people actually claim to see her
there. Often. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's one of her many haunting locations.
Yeah. Yeah, so Steve Hodell is a former LA police investigator. He was not an investigator at this time. I think he was still in the police force when the crime actually happened. But now that he's retired, he kind of took it upon himself to do a little digging after he found some photos in his dad's belongings. His dad is the main suspect that I think did it. So I don't really feel like it's necessary to cover the others. But
I agree with this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Steve Hodell's dad is George Hodell.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of fucking shit. Who, by the way, like, graduated. He was, like, a genius, apparently. He had an IQ score 1 point higher than Einstein's. Yeah, he makes that known. I know. But he was actually, like, 16, I believe, 16 or 19, when he attended surgical school.
Wow.
In Jesus. Austria. Yeah. And he actually owned a clinic for venereal diseases during the time that Betty Rose was murdered.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
And he was, like, super charming from what I've heard. He's disgusting to me. But, yeah, like, he was a super well-known doctor. Because, like, the best of the best went to him from L.A.
Mm.
Yeah. He had, like, anyone who was anyone in Hollywood probably has some sort of relation to him, because they oftentimes went to him for, like, procedures that were a little bit more on the hush-hush that they didn't want everyone to know.
Yeah, he was, like,
and
a
now
celebrity
he's kept
doctor.
Into their, their pockets. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Steve Hodell was looking through some of his stuff and found these two pictures of a woman who was, well, one is a woman who we've ruled out, like, evidence has ruled out as not Elizabeth Short, and then the other one has been inconclusive. Like, we don't know if it's her or not. But it is well-known fact that George and Elizabeth were, they knew each other. It was a well-known fact that George and Elizabeth did know each other. It makes sense, because she, yeah, would have went to those types of parties, and, yeah, they had been seen together, actually, before she died.
Convenient.
Yeah, very convenient.
Yeah, and there was a person on the detective team who, like, led it. I think he was the chief of police. Visser, I think is his name, and he was an insane person. He was, like, super drunk, and let all those reporters just trample the fucking crime scene.
Wait. This he was drunk at the crime scene. Like, he was drunk on the job.
Yeah, he was drunk and saying stuff like, we should just go home. Like, yeah. It's, yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I hate
well,
this.
He was obviously corrupt. So yeah. Many people in LA were at this time.
Mm.
Yeah, in the police force. So we have that also combating us in this search as well. But anyway, So George Odell is also not the best man, okay? Like, he not only had that medical training, but he's also had a history of, like, having a lot of underage girls at his house, and has an accusation about involving his 14-year-old daughter, Tamar Odell, in an orgy with his friends, Hollywood friends.
I hate this.
Yes.
Why also, is everyone shitty in this?
Gross. Yeah, his daughter experienced a lot of sexual abuse from him. Apparently, he had, like, 10 kids, and they all came from, like, different women. And they all kind of remember, like, women coming upstairs to see him and stuff. He has this one room in his house. His house is, like, a trademark in L.A., I swear, because it looks like an Aztec temple. It's super,
that's
like,
fucking
tacky.
Weird.
Yeah, it's, like, this giant mansion that everyone knew about, you know? And really nice place, don't get me wrong. But he had this one room where his kids couldn't go in there. And they just thought, you know, it was for storage and stuff. But it was for stuff like sex trafficking and doing terrible things to women. And there are some suspicions that
how
women would
free?
Sleep with him.
How are any of these people that
you know
ever get these
annoying?
Accusations free?
He lived to be like 97 or something. Fucking asshole. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what. But yeah. Tamar specifically remembers younger women coming to her dad, and there are suspicions that, like, they would come to him for abortions or, you know, treating venereal diseases, and they might have not had too much money, unfortunately. So you could put two and two together there. Yeah. Yeah. And so, strangely enough, his secretary went missing, aka died, and then was ruled a drug overdose. But there's, like, that's the only person who saw him and Betty together, and could, like, recount. So, yeah, very convenient. The police thought it was him so much so that did this crime, they actually illegally bugged his house.
Wow.
Because there were some detectives on the case who actually gave a fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they also noticed that there was more at play than just this woman being murdered. And it actually helped quite a bit that the tabloids... Oh, that reminds me of something. So the tabloids were asked for some fucking weird reason. This is how LA worked back in the day. The tabloids were asked to tell the mom, Betty's mom, that she was murdered. Okay.
What?
Yeah. To try to help with the case, right? To get some... Right.
How the fuck would that help with anything?
Firstly, like, what? What kind of... What is...
That's why you have cops.
What are you doing here? Anyway...
it's like
the
part
tabloids
of their job.
Lied to her mom to get information out. Yeah. They said that Betty had won a pageant and that they wanted more information about her personal life. So they manipulated the mom. And
I'm sorry. I'm just, like, dumbfounded by how terrible
I know
media
this hurts
is.
Us. I know it hurts us. And yeah, after the mom gave them all the information, she was like, they were like, oh, by the way, your daughter was murdered.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. So having those forces at play on the police's, like, side of the story, I think really helped with the public conception that, like, oh yeah, she was just a whore, and, like, this just happens to people who aren't safe, you know, they're getting into the wrong crowd, all that bullshit. No, I think that George Odell did meet Elizabeth, and they had some sort of relationship. And I do think he was the last person to see her. But there were times when the police bugged his phone and actually broke into his house because that's how much they thought he did it. And they caught him saying, I quote, let me find it in my notes really quickly.
This is infuriating.
This is much more infuriating than I remember it being.
He quotes... Supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia. They couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove it because my secretary is dead.
So this guy did
so
it.
So they just didn't listen? They just didn't fucking listen.
No, you guys. They, like, if you look now, they'll tell you there's a bunch of, like, recorded evidence from this case, but for some reason it's just gone. It's just missing.
For some reason, mysteriously.
There was another time.
Oh my god, there's more times
when
than
they
he's
caught,
like... could have killed her.
When they caught George Hodel saying this, "This is the best payoff I've ever seen in law enforcement agencies. I would like to make a deal with someone in the DA."
So
they just straight up weren't listening is all I'm hearing from this.
So the LAPD's always been this fucked up?
So that's what I'm hearing. I think they heard, and I think those detectives were probably just told to shut the fuck up and give me your evidence. Oh, yeah, those tapes went missing, by the way. Those are the only things we have of those tapes, and I'm sure the rest is very incriminating. But, yeah, that's the reason why you just get this idea that this was a glamorous crime, and it wasn't. It was a terrible crime. George Hodel, he used his daughter for sex, and that's just, like, one account that I know of his crimes that he wasn't tried for, by the way. His daughter went on trial for this. And yeah, for the orgy, okay? Because that was like, for years she had been like trying to tell people what was going on. Because I think her abuse started at the age 11, Tamar's abuse. And I guess George was like, her dad was like a breadwinner in the family. So people really didn't want to believe her. Yeah,
that shit makes me so angry. Believe your fucking children. If a child is telling you something like that, they're probably not making it up. And if they are, there's additional issues that you need to address. Like, that's not normal either. So, right. Like,
there is trauma somewhere in there.
Yeah.
We say that all the time.
Yeah. Believe your fucking kids. Kids don't make shit like that up.
It really just seemed like she didn't have very close parental figures. Like, I don't know what kind of life this girl grew up having to endure with her dad. But Hollywood glamorized that. Like, they... She has a story where the photographer, who's also going to come up later in the story, Man Ray, apparently he's like a famous photographer, I don't know, but he actually took pictures of her that her dad paid for.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, same with another famous actor who like came on to her in her house. Anyway, no protection for this girl. Absolutely no protection. And like, he was a womanizer. We're talking like six different women that you have children for that you obviously don't care about. So if that's like the bare minimum of what this person's capable of, just imagine of what happens when he like takes his entitlement a bit further, right?
Yeah. It's fucking disgusting, dude. Well, and you're not wrong either. Like the foundation of Hollywood is essentially built on this, because we're seeing it even now with things like Cuties being put on Netflix, you know?
Oh my god.
And no, it's not just because we're American that we think that's fucking weird. All right? Just gonna say that right now.
It's weird.
It's weird.
There's no way to sugarcoat that. I think the pageantry is weird too. For all ages, really. No offense. I think that some people have all sorts of different notions around that, but it's weird. Like, it's all... Anyway. Excuse me. So yeah, Betty did not have a chance. This poor girl did not have a chance with this man. So yeah, I think he was the only one capable of doing it. He also, well, whoever the suspect was, sent letters to the police that were like, yeah, catch me if you can.
Very Zodiac of you. Like,
oh, you don't believe that it was me that did this? I'll send you her pocketbook. So they had her address book. Yeah. And they sent that to the police. And the police were still...
So you kept prizes.
Right.
Something, right?
Like, fucking trophies.
What tells me that is that he should have had a close relationship with her, right? Because why would you bring that on you? Or why would he know where that is? You know, that kind of stuff. And...
What?
Yeah, so... This is where I think he did it, is because there's, like, this hidden anger towards women that he needed to get out, and who knows what other kinds of things happened, but this is the one that I think was his final like homage. According to his son, he really idolized the photographer Man Ray. He wanted to be like him. Like, I think George Hodel was very smart, but probably missing that like charismatic, artistic side, creative side of his life, and like to be praised by that kind of thing. And so there's a photo that we will put up on our website or Instagram that was said to be inspiration for the crime. That was like one of George Hodel's favorite pieces. And it's called the Minotaur. to fucking freak you out, which is a beast that ate maidens. Super scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yep.
And the photo itself is really creepy. Like, and what's the fucked up thing is, like, it's kind of cool, but fuck, no, it's not. It's not after this. It just looks kind of weird. Anyway, it looks like horns in, like, Elizabeth's, like, hands, the way they were positioned, were kind of reminiscent of that and also looked like horns.
Huh.
Kind of like a weird way of saying, like, the Minotaur did this. Right. Or only because
if he had kept going, he would have been the Minotaur and like the Zodiac.
That's a fucking terrible serial killer name.
They were actually calling him the Werewolf.
Oh,
because she was like, don't give him a cool name. Yeah,
she was the Werewolf.
Yeah,
don't give him a cool name. Make him the Screen Door Intruder.
Black Dahlia is way cooler, and that's all her.
Yeah, exactly. That's all about her. It's not even about the murder.
Yeah, so there's no conclusion on whether George O'Dell did this, but I have laid out the evidence for you. Oh, yeah. Also, when police found his house, they found three or four of those cement bags that I mentioned earlier.
The same ones?
Yeah, the exact
same
ones.
Okay, so this guy did it.
So he did it.
He did it.
And he paid someone off, and that's the reason why we have this case that's supposedly unsolved.
Yeah, his son has written so many books about this, and he keeps trying to get them because he grew up to be a cop, and then he tried to get people to come and like check the house some more. He was like, I feel like there's evidence here, and they brought cadaver dogs and they picked up the scent of bodies, they refused to fucking let them dig it up, and then the new owners won't let them go in there to do any investigation now.
Why
so it's being covered,
them, you know,
it's
why
being completely buried.
And well, the worst part about this is that America and the media also just murdered her. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really care about her presence at all. They were just trashing her reputation all through and through. And she didn't get any proper notoriety from this, I think.
I feel like we see that a lot, too, in cases where women are the victims of heinous crimes like this. I just watched An American Murder on Netflix. It's about the Chris Watts story. And even in that, they talk about, like, the family, Shannon's family is heavily involved, and they talk about how Shannon was being bullied online after her death because people were like, but Chris Watts is hot. She sounds like a bitch. She deserved it. And it's like, all right, just because someone's a bitch doesn't mean they should get fucking murdered. Like, that's people's line of thinking, though.
And this, to them, was, like, just another murder.
Yeah.
And to me, it's, like, one of the most heinous, like, sex crimes that you've seen, because it's, like, her genitalia were mutilated.
Yeah.
And the whole thing around it was just, like, in my... Oh, yeah. Well, in my opinion, I think he probably came on to her and she said no. And that's why we got this.
Yeah. You're right, though. As we've been talking about this case this whole time, I've been thinking about how we don't ever talk about
the
Betty.
Real reason. And the Betty. Yeah. And also, just the violence that men can commit on women. Can we not address that as a society? Like, it's dangerous for us. And that was back then. Mm-hmm. But, like, this kind of thing happens now. I haven't seen anything like this. Like, I don't think anyone's as skilled to do what they actually did to this body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's no evidence. Like, poor Steve, like, he has zero ways to get working. Like, they kind of ruled out. Is even writing specialists even,
oh, yeah.
Is it pseudoscience, or is that, like,
I don't think it's admissible in court,
I don't
is
think
the
it
thing.
Is
I think you can have it done, but it doesn't really hold any weight. You guys tell us. Does anyone know the answer to that? Because I'm actually not positive, but
well,
I think it's not
question.
Admissible.
If you, like, read my journals and stuff, my handwriting shifts throughout the whole time.
Yeah.
Mine does, too.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm like, no one's ever going to be able to identify me if I go missing.
Yeah.
They don't know who's writing this is.
So they couldn't rule out that his letters were that. I mean, how much more evidence do you need? Like, just put... And that's the thing. This guy got to live a long, awesome life, I'm sure. Like, a rich life.
Yeah.
And, yeah, fuck that. Fuck this crime. I don't think it's cool that people use her face for t-shirts and stuff. Like, it's also just kind of weird to put that, like, I know it is sort of artistic. I hate to say that. Like, it's not, it's a creative way that someone did this to this body, but, like, it's been used for, like, you know, t-shirts and all sorts of things, like, really bad stuff. And I get it. To me, like, destroying beauty is just, like, what the fuck is that in our society, right? You just gotta kill something beautiful. You can't have it.
Yeah.
They like you can't to see leave it be. Happen.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because when we talk about other murders, it's like, it's the killer that's on the merch, it's not the victim.
No.
Right. And so, yeah, and we don't really talk about this being a hate crime. No. And to me, it is.
Femicide is a hate crime.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Can we
don't at me.
That? Yeah, seriously. Anyway, yeah.
No, interesting. I don't know shit about the Black Doll yet. The only thing, I mean, I knew this stuff because we've recorded this before, but it's just an interesting, I think we got an interesting perspective that
yeah,
I haven't heard other people do.
I've never heard some of this stuff before, and I'm sure if I had looked into it, I would have found it, but it's like weird to me that it feels so buried.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
So it's like a very easy thing to search up.
Yeah.
We just didn't.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, Les.
No problem. Yeah.
If you want to check out that picture of the art, Minotaur. The Minotaur, go check out our Instagram at Not a Boogeyman.
We'll have all sorts of pictures from today's episode on there.
Yep.
So that would be cool. And also, if you guys can give us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that'd also be neato.
That would be awesome. You got stories for us? Send them to our email, notamonsternotaboogeyman@gmail.com. Come back next week. Naomi, what are you giving us?
Not murder and not sadness for once.
Oh, yay.
Just some questions.
Come back for questions next week.
Bye.
Bye.